I do hope you are enjoying this series about our front lines. In fact, I hope that you are more than enjoying this series, that you are actually able to learn some things that you are able to apply in your daily life and at your front lines, wherever they may be. This week we are looking at the Bible passage Matthew 6, 5-14. Now, I must admit, when Peter sent through this reading for this week, I did have to check twice that it was correct. Initially, it didn't seem like a natural fit. What has the Lord's Prayer got to do with my front line? Being Jesus' disciples on our front line didn't seem to have a natural link with the prayer. I did double check. Peter was right. And so I've had the privilege of the last couple of weeks to be able to reflect on this teaching and what it has to do to help us and equip us for our front lines. When we talk about front lines, we are talking about living missionally. Sometimes in church, we talk about doing mission. It's an event. It's something we plan, invite people to and do for them. And of course, there is a place for missional events and outreach activities. But this series on our front line is more about us living missional lifestyles. It's about being an influence to those around us. It's not a doing thing, but it's about our being. And when we think about living missionally on our front line, when we think about that in the context of our being, then this passage from Matthew becomes a very natural fit and a helpful tool in thinking about our influence to others. This week's teaching is entitled, Whoever We Are. And that's because whoever we are, how insignificant we feel, we can make all the difference in the world. God has called each one of us to our front lines. And we are told in Scripture that we are sons and daughters of the King. We are children of God. Our value, our worth, our significance is in Him, and so is our life on our front line. Being a child of God, being loved and valued by Him, forms our identity in the world and our identity on our front line. Isn't that liberating? Now, there are some Christians who can speak well. They can articulate Christian principles well. They can explain the Bible and its stories in animated and exciting ways. Fortunately for us, God does not require us all to have these special skills to share the good news about Him, to share the gospel. It's not about how well you can argue a case for Christ. It's not about how important you are in your workplace. But it's about how you can quietly and gently influence those around you in your life by your actions, reactions, words, and simply by being you. For those of you who've been around church for a long time, the Lord's Prayer can seem so familiar that we can skate through it and not stop to think too much about what we're praying, and even less about what it means for us as God's people caught up in participating in His mission in the world. The wonder about the prayer is that it starts with an assurance of our identity. The prayer starts with us establishing our identity in Christ as children of God with that opening line, Our Father in Heaven. It's a simple line. But for those of us who know the prayer well, can just trot off our lips. Our Father in Heaven. But you know what? That line is life-changing. It is life-changing to know that we are first and foremost sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Whoever we are, wherever we are from, whatever we do, we are loved by God with all wisdom and understanding. There will be times in life when this will be the main anchor in the storm, the key that unlocks us from our prisons, and it will be the truth that will bring us the greatest joy. This is more than just an opening line or statement. Our Father in Heaven is a gateway to our purpose. Next in the prayer, we pray for our part in the Father's business. Hallowed be your name. When we become Christians, we align ourselves with God's cause. his way of doing things and so glorify him. And, of course, his family business that embraces all things. God's business is global. It's for everyone. It is redemptive. It is liberating. And it includes us and our daily context, whether that is at work, at home, school, or wherever you find yourselves day to day. In the prayer, we then pray for a regime change. It's big stuff. But we pray for this in the firm belief that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, so Ephesians tells us. And so we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder how many of you find change to be challenging. I find it hugely challenging. One of the hardest things we all face at this moment in the coronavirus crisis is the continual change to the restrictions. We get one set of restrictions, we learn to live by them, and suddenly they can change, and then change again. Change and continual change is challenging. Safety, security, routine, and comfort can seem very attractive because we know where we are with that. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to pray for regime change, that God's will be done here in Leeds and beyond, and now, not when everything is settled and ready. This kingdom clashes with the way of life on earth. When Jesus first taught this prayer, there was an all-powerful empire. The Jewish people were working out what it meant to be the people of God under these difficult conditions. Some believed they should concentrate on personal piety. Some thought that they should accommodate the political powers around them. Some took to the desert and completely withdrew. Others, most ordinary people, just tried to get on with life. Does that sound familiar to how we are living today in 2020? I kind of think so. Jesus came and declared that the kingdom of God had arrived in and through him. And so, as Christians, we are called to join in that prayer for our time and place, for Leeds, for the UK in 2020. The prayer then turns to a different subject, to our own needs, when it then says, "Give us today our daily bread." Praying for today's bread suggests an attitude of constant reliance on our Heavenly Father. It's an echo of the prayer prayed by the Israelites while out in the desert, having to pray and rely on God daily for their bread, for the manna that God gave them. As small children who are dependent on a parent and guardian to provide them with daily food to survive, so we too must depend on God daily to fulfil our needs. It's a description of our relationship with him, a parent-child relationship, and so it affirms our significance to him. This can present a challenge to those of us who like to feel like we're in control. As Christians who live in the West, who on the whole have all that we need, perhaps sometimes forget to ask God this on a daily basis. Perhaps we have learnt to provide for our own needs. Perhaps we forget who our heavenly parent is. But Jesus has asked us to pray this prayer to his heavenly Father, our heavenly Father, daily. We are called to bring our daily needs and requests to him. We are significant to him and he to us. Having prayed for our needs, Jesus then tells us we're to pray about yesterday's mistakes. This is a prayer that Jesus gave the disciples when they asked him to teach them to pray. Jesus recognised that it would be some things that they would need to be dealt with regularly. We would need to be forgiven and we would need to forgive. We are not as good as we think we are, and the people around us are not as good as we wish they were. Jesus breaks this cycle of failure with forgiveness between us and God, and between each other. This is us reaching out to God for his grace. This is our admission of our failure and our humility to accept and recognise our own failings. I think this can truly be one of the greatest witnesses that we can have to those around us who don't yet know Jesus. As Christians, we are told to hold our hands up when we have done wrong and to say sorry. When others wrong us, we are told to forgive them like God has forgiven us. Can you imagine how different our world would be if we could all adhere to this principle? Do you know what? It's world-changing. And our influence on our front lines can be powerful, in fact world-changing, if we truly live this line of this prayer daily. So in this prayer, we have sought our identity with God the Father. We have given him honour and glory, and we have prayed for his reign in this world. We have brought before him our needs, and we have asked for forgiveness and forgiven others. And now we pray for tomorrow's walk and tomorrow's work, when we utter the words, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Jesus seems to think that we shouldn't be too confident about our own ability to keep going as disciples. There is an enemy who wants to seduce us away from the ways of the kingdom. And so times of testing will come. And here we are called to pray for protection and deliverance. We don't go into our front lines alone, but with the powerful, protecting, life-giving presence of God with us. We go in the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says this, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Serving God on our front lines is not about trying harder. Living missional lives is not about being perfect. It's about learning to allow the resurrection power of God to work in and through us as we embrace the things that God has called us to do. It begins with a clear sense of our identity. It is empowered by the Holy Spirit, who equips us for the work he has called us to do. I thought as I concluded this talk today that we could perhaps pray this prayer of Jesus together. So I encourage you this morning, or this evening, whatever time you are listening to this service, but I just encourage you, wherever you are watching this service, to just pause for a moment and to pray out loud with me this powerful prayer that Jesus has taught us. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.